Good morning, children. Today we are going to discuss the poem No Men Are Foreign by James Kirkup. James Falconer Kirkup was born on April 23, 1918 in United Kingdom. He was an internationally acclaimed poet, novelist, playwright and translator. He wrote about 30 books, which include autobiography, novels and plays. His first book of poetry, The Drowned Sailor at the Downs, was published in 1947. A skilled writer of haiku and tanka, his work includes several dozen poetry collections, 6 volumes of autobiography and over 100 monographs of original work and translations. No Men Are Foreign can be considered as a post-colonial poem which talks of globalization and its resultant human unity worldwide. The poem was written in the 1940s when the Second World War had come to an end and dissidents were revolting against the oppressive rule of the colonial powers. The sense of racial superiority of the colonial powers was being rejected by the local citizens. Kirkup's poem echoes these sentiments, and he wants his readers to celebrate these differences rather than to be enslaved because of them. Children, have you ever thought of some people as strange or other countries as foreign? We may have many ways of thinking of other people as different from us. They may belong to different countries or religions, follow a different lifestyle, and speak a different language. In this poem, No Men Are Foreign, however, the poet reminds us of the many ways in which we are all the same, for we are all human. He tells us to give up narrow nationalism and stop building narrow domestic walls. He also exhorts us not to distinguish people on the basis of their appearance, religion, region, etc. Most of the time, this difference is artificially constructed on the basis of the fact that such men hail from a different part of the world than we do. In his view, every human being is the same. Whatever clothes we may wear, we walk on the same land and get buried also here. The apparent differences of lands and race are only superficial and not real. So let me begin with the stanza-wise explanation of the poem. No men are foreign. Remember, no men are strange, no country is foreign. Beneath all uniforms, a single body breathes. Like ours, the land our brothers walk upon is earth like this in which we all shall lie. In this stanza, the poet emphasizes the value of universal brotherhood. He tells us why we must not hate our brothers and sisters who live in different countries. He asks us never to forget that people living in other countries are not strange or unfamiliar. They may fight for the army of their country, but beneath the uniform we are all similar. All human bodies live and breathe in the same fashion. We are all brothers because we walk upon the same earth that we have divided into countries. We all shall meet the same earth in the end, where we shall be buried after death. In the second stanza, where he writes, they too, aware of sun and air and water, are fed by peaceful harvest, by vast long winter starved. Their hands are ours, and in their lines we read a labor not different from our own. The poet gives us further evidence of the unity of man. He says that all the people of the world are nourished and nurtured equally by the elements of nature like sun, air and water. Everyone is united by the sameness of spirit. Like us, the people of other countries too enjoy the harvest in peaceful times and dread starvation caused by long-drawn wars. They too toil to earn livelihood, and their destiny is similar to ours. Stanza 3. Remember, they have eyes like ours that wake or sleep, and strength that can be won by love. In every land is common life that all can recognize and understand. Here, the poet urges us to remember that the so-called strange and foreign people sleep and walk like we do. Like us, they too can be won over by love and not by force. Their experiences of life are similar to that of ours. Hence, we all find something familiar in each other's life and identify with each other. Stanza 4. Let us remember, whenever we are told to hate our brothers, it is ourselves that we shall dispossess, betray, condemn. Remember, we who take arms against each other. So the poet in the fourth stanza says that whenever we are asked by our leaders to hate or exploit the people of other countries, we must remember that this hatred will have a negative effect on us. It's a form of self-destruction. If we kill people of any other country, we are endangering human beings as a whole and their survival on earth. We would find ourselves cheated, as it would deprive us of the bliss of universal brotherhood. We would condemn ourselves to a life of enmity and strangeness. In the fifth stanza, he reminds us that when we take arms against each other, it is the human earth that we defile. Our hells of fire and dust outrage the innocence of air that is everywhere our own. Remember, no men are foreign and no country strange. So the poet once again reminds us that war is futile and it spoils the very earth for which we take up arms against each other. The loss is common to all. The deadly weapons emit fire and ashes that spread all over and pollute the environment. This robs the air of its purity and the world becomes a more difficult place to live in. It's therefore imperative not to consider any human being as foreign and any country as strange. Everything is common and everyone is equal on earth. Hence, we must build mutual respect and trust. Hating other people because they are different or raising arms against each other only show our narrow-mindedness. We must consider the entire world as a big family where no one is a stranger. What a wonderful message this little poem has for us today when the whole world is torn by strife, conflict and clash of ideologies. When the clouds of war are looming large over the world's horizon. Does not the poem remind us that when we go to war, we do not kill our enemies, but only ourselves? For all men, to whatever race and color they belong, are brothers. Let the warmongering political and religious leaders of the world take a lesson from this poem and serve humanity by abjuring war for good. Now, let's discuss the poetic devices. The poem doesn't have any specific rhyme scheme, so it is written in free verse. Let us discuss the other rhetorical devices used here. First of all, metaphor. A metaphor is a figure of speech that directly refers to one thing by mentioning another. It may provide clarity or identify hidden similarities between two ideas. For example, when the poet says, beneath all uniforms, a single body breathes. Uniforms here basically stand for militaries that different countries in the world have. So the word uniform is indirectly compared to the militaries of different countries. Another example is wars, long winter, starved. The starvation caused by the harsh winter has been compared indirectly to the wartime destruction. Also, in the last stanza, when the poet says, our hells of fire, he compares wars with hells. The next poetic device that we find here in the poem is alliteration. Alliteration is the repetition of usually the initial consonant sounds in two or more closely placed words. For example, body breathes. Here, bur sound is repeated. Was winter. Ver sound is repeated. Then we have transferred epithet. Transferred epithet is a figure of speech in which an adjective usually used to describe one thing is transferred to another. An epithet is a word or phrase which describes the main quality of someone or something. For example, we can say a happy person. Here, the epithet or the adjective happy describes the person. And transferred epithet is when this adjective is transferred to a different noun like happy birthday. In this poem, the poet uses the device of the transferred epithet in the sixth line when he writes the phrase peaceful harvest. It's not the harvest that are peaceful, but peaceful social and political conditions that prevent a shortage of crops or famine and make harvest possible. Another poetic device that is used widely throughout the poem is repetition. Repetition is the repeating of a word or phrase to add emphasis and stress to an idea. The poet repeats the word remember 5 times in this poem to emphasize the message the poem has to convey. Similarly, the last line of the last stanza, remember no men are strange and no countries foreign, though reversed, is the same as the first line of the first stanza. This repetition emphasizes the core message of the oneness of mankind. That's all for today. Thank you.